Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Would you like to come in and take a seat? And it's lovely, isn't it, to see the church looking full and so many people here to worship together this morning. If you don't know me, my name is Judith, and it's my pleasure today to be leading us through our service, and then Heather will be coming later to bring God's word to us. A really huge welcome, particularly if you are visiting us or are still quite new to St Andrews. And I do hope you will make yourself known to somebody, and that people will be making themselves known to you as well, and that you really enjoy worshipping with us this morning. I don't have any particular notices to give this morning. Hopefully many of you receive the notices through on the mailing list, or you can see things on the church website as well. So I would encourage you to have a look at those. So let's start with a song of praise to our Lord. So do please stand if you're able, and we're going to sing, "O Lord, I Want to Sing Your Praises."
Okay, let's stand.
Book of Mark, and I wonder, is there anyone here who's been trying to read through Mark regularly and enjoy it? Yeah, I can see some hands going up. That's great. Still lots of time. It's only a short book if you want to sit down and read it. And today we're going to be thinking about parables, parables of the kingdom. So it's a funny word, isn't it, parable? I just wondered, do any of the children or young people perhaps know what is a parable? Yeah, somebody got an idea.
What do you think?
Well, we had a brilliant answer there. It's the stories that God told the disciples. And that's absolutely right, isn't it? It was something that Jesus did lots of. And there's over 50 parables in the Bible that Jesus told. And they're quite funny stories, some of them, because they make us think. And I think that's the idea of them, really. They make us think and ask questions. And sometimes Jesus explained what they meant, and sometimes he didn't. And he just left it up to people to make up their own minds. And I bought this book recently. It's called The Parables, and it's by Paula Gooder, who is a great hero of mine, a brilliant Bible scholar. And it's a really good book if you want to find out a bit more about the parables. So we're going to hear some parables now, and the Laidler family have very kindly offered to agree to come and read to us. Fan, if I give you the microphone to hold, that would be brilliant.
The reading's taken from Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 9 and 26 to 34, the parable of the sower. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large, he got into a boat and sat it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching he said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have very much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they didn't bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. And then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear."
The parable of the growing seed. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seeds on the ground, night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seeds sprout and grow. Though he does not know how, all by itself the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come."
The parable of the mustard seed. Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? What parable should we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything.
This is the word of God. Well, thank you for that lovely, clear reading. And we're going to hear a little bit more from the book of Mark later on. It's almost time for our children and young people to leave us. We're going to sing a song now, and perhaps they'd like to leave towards the end of the song. But I will just pray for them that, Lord, you would bless all our children and young people today, that they would have fun and enjoyment, and that they too would ask themselves questions and find out a little bit more about you, just as the disciples did all those years ago. Amen. So please do stand if you're able and wish to, and then the young people will be leaving towards the end of the song.
You are here.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to be our waymaker, to show us how to make our way through life and into eternal life with you. And that Jesus spoke so many wise words to help us to know how we should do that and how to be close to him throughout our whole lives. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Please take a seat. We're going to have the second part of our reading now, and then Heather will be speaking to us.
The second reading's in Mark again, starting back at verse 10. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." And then picking it up again at verse 21, a lamp on a stand. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I never hear that lovely song, Waymaker, without thinking about the early years of the first lockdown and the way that we worshipped online and how a group of our musicians recorded that. It was very, very precious. And God has made a way, hasn't he, to this point where we are here now worshipping together. And we praise him for that. And what an apt song that was. Even though we don't see it, you're working. You never stop working. That just echoes one of the parables the children read about how the farmer sows the seed and it grows in the night and comes to harvest without him knowing how he does it or how the seed does it. So God never stops working. And Lord, we pray that you will teach us as Jesus taught those disciples so long ago. Amen. Well, pictures speak louder than words. And I'm sure you've been enjoying looking at this beautiful painting by Van Gogh of the sower. Yes, pictures speak louder than words. And stories speak louder than sermons. And if you were here last Sunday, you heard a master of storytelling when Jeff spoke to us. He has a great gift for illustrating his preaching with stories. Today we're going to listen to the supreme storyteller, Jesus. And as we've already discussed, his stories are usually called parables. The word comes from Greek and it means comparison. So parables are stories that illustrate a truth by using some sort of down-to-earth comparison or analogy taken from everyday life. Some of the best-loved parables, like the prodigal son and the good Samaritan, are found in Luke's gospel. In this chapter, Mark has collected some which relate to Jesus' self-disclosure as the promised Messiah. Three times in our reading, we heard Jesus use the expression, the kingdom of heaven, or rather the kingdom of God. And in fact, that was the expression that he continually used, the kingdom of God. Excuse me. But what did this phrase mean to his hearers? I was thinking about this and praying about it as I was preparing this sermon. And I woke up one morning with these words in my mind. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Wow. God put those words into my mind while I was asleep. Thank you for that, Lord. I Googled it, Googled these words, and I found that they come from Psalm 45. And it begins, my heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. It turns out that it's a wedding song for a king of the royal house of David. And later in the psalm, we read the words that I had remembered. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God your God has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. So it seems that the king for whose wedding this was written was godlike in his qualities and reigned as God's representative. But as we know, few of the kings of Israel and Judah lived up to this calling, and things went so badly wrong that the people were eventually carried off into exile. When they did return to their land, there were no more kings, but they began to cherish this psalm as a prophecy of the Messiah they were so eagerly awaiting, who they believed would restore the glories of the throne of David. And in the New Testament letter to the Hebrews, chapter 1, these words are explicitly applied to Jesus. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. About the Son, God says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus makes this announcement. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Which in code is saying, your Messiah has come. I am the Messiah. No wonder people came flocking to him, especially when they saw his miracles. And no wonder, as we heard in previous weeks, the anger and vicious intention of his enemies among the scribes and Pharisees was aroused by this coded claim. Well, our chapter begins with Jesus having to push out from the shore in a boat to speak to the crowds without being crushed. But that doesn't necessarily mean they understood what he said, and nor did the disciples come to that in spite of Jesus' words. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. However, I'm assuming that most of you understood the parable of the sower, and that's why we skipped verses 13 to 20. You have ears to hear. You are listening. So I suggest you might find Mark chapter 4 in the Pew Bible if you haven't already. What page number is it, Judith? It's 1005, I think. Is that right? 1005. And I'd like you to turn to your neighbours and briefly discuss what you think this parable means. The parable of the sower, the seed, and the soil. And you don't have to look, you don't have to check. Try and do it without checking, but if you want to, it's on page 1005. Well, it seems a shame to interrupt you, Perhaps we should just go on talking. You might like to go on talking after the service or maybe in your life groups. But, order. I'm sure you have worked out that this story is not about a very slapdash farmer who is wasteful with his seed, but about ourselves and about Jesus' style of teaching. I'm going to read a bit from a book which I very much enjoy about Mark. It's called Peter's Preaching by Jeremy Duff, because it's believed that Mark, being the earliest gospel, and Mark having travelled with Peter, apparently, and acted as his interpreter, as we learn in one of the epistles, that he was writing down what he heard Peter telling people about the ministry of Jesus. And Jeremy Duff writes, "Jesus' teaching seems wasteful. Just as no farmer would throw seed around like this, so too no sensible teacher would spend all his time speaking to the crowds of Galilean peasants and low-life miracle seekers. This teaching method offers no control over what people remember, whether or not they understand, or what they do with what they've learnt. Jesus is just throwing seed into the air, reckless about where it falls. The opposite of what the religious teachers of his day were doing. The Pharisees and scribes were committed to careful, deliberate teaching, passing on a body of material accurately and controlling the meaning. Furthermore, Jesus' parable seems to throw the responsibility onto the hearers. If you've got ears to hear, then listen, he proclaims. I'm scattering the seed widely, so make sure you grab some. I wonder if you found yourself not only decoding, but applying the meaning, asking yourself, what kind of soil am I? What kind of soil am I? That was Jesus' intention. He wanted people to work out the meaning for themselves, to listen and hear. The parables provoke and lead us to respond to him. So, pausing again for a moment, I'm just going to pray about that before we move on. Lord, you challenge us with this parable to think about what sort of soil we are. Our responses to you rather superficial, so that we forget about them once we leave the church building? Or are there so many things going on in our lives that take priority over listening to you and living as your disciple? We pray that we may be good soil to receive your word, so that you can grow a harvest in our lives for your kingdom. Amen. Now, I'm sure that you are as perplexed as I am, and people have always been, over what Jesus said in verses 11 to 12. You remember, he said, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be forever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." What? Jesus quotes these shocking words from Isaiah chapter 6. But surely he doesn't mean he doesn't want people to understand. Surely he wants everyone to repent and be forgiven. He said so in his manifesto. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And I had two more questions. Firstly, why does he now say the kingdom of God is a secret? Were the disciples a clique, uniquely given access to secret truth? No, that's not what it means. The word translated as secret is translated as mystery in some versions, and it's a word that St. Paul uses in Ephesians chapter 1 to indicate God's eternal purposes, concealed in the past, but now revealed in Jesus. It's definitely something God wants us to discover. He's not tantalizing us, but it discovering it depends on our having ears to hear. Secondly, who does Jesus mean by those on the outside? Didn't he always welcome those who were outcasts and living on the edge? Well, if you look at verse 10, you'll see it was the 12 and others around him who asked Jesus about the parables. A growing number of followers were attentively responding to Jesus and wanting to grow in understanding. In chapter 3, he calls the crowd sitting round him listening to his teaching his true family. As we read on in Mark, we find that some of those who got it about Jesus were literally outsiders. The Syrophoenician woman in chapter 7 who persuaded Jesus to heal her daughter. And the Roman centurion standing by the cross who said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." On the other hand, the disciples frequently didn't get it. So that in chapter 8, Jesus uses these very words to them. "Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear?" What must we do to see and hear and understand Jesus and accept his kingly rule? The parable of the lamp throws more light on this, if you'll excuse the pun. In verses 21 to 23, Jesus is saying, again in a coded way, to those who are listening, that he, the light of the world, has come to disclose who he is. And in verses 24 to 25, he seems to be saying, if you listen and respond eagerly, God will give you more understanding. But if you're not really listening, you'll end up understanding less and less. I asked at the beginning what the phrase "the kingdom of God" meant to Jesus' original hearers. Now I ask, what does it mean to us? Later we shall be praying, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." That kingdom which is growing secretly like the farmer's harvest in verses 26 to 29. And which, like the mustard seed in verses 30 to 32, has grown from small beginnings in a Galilean backwater into a worldwide community. So is the kingdom of God here now, or is it still to come? Well, I suggest the answer is yes to both. Because the king, Jesus, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, his death on the cross, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that is still to come. The battle against the prince of this world, as Jesus described the devil, was won through his death and resurrection. But the final coming of the kingdom awaits the return of the king. But meanwhile, when we acknowledge Jesus as our Lord, we become members of the growing kingdom of God, helping that kingdom to come on earth. What does it mean for us to be kingdom people? How does it work out in our daily lives, in what we say and do and how we live? I'm asking us all, are we listening and learning from Jesus our King, working out what it means to live as kingdom people, and also in joining with him in spreading that seed, which is the word of life? Amen.
Thank you so much, Heather. So much to think about there. As we were asked to think about what did we feel the parables meant, it came to me very much that parable about the growing seed, how it just grows in the night and we don't know how. God's very much in control, isn't he, of our growing faith. You know, it's not really up to us. We cooperate with God. We open ourselves to his Spirit, but it is he who enables our faith to grow through the Spirit. And so what do we need to do? It occurred to me that even good soil can become dry and starved of nutrients and needs to be watered and fed again. And I think that's something that worship plays a really important part in. So we're going to have a time of worship now where we can invite the Spirit to work with us in growing our faith and knowledge of our Lord, and then we'll move straight on into intercessions after that. So I invite you to worship now through some songs.
And that is our prayer, Lord. Let heaven come. Let it be to us as it is in heaven. Heaven come down. Let heaven come. Amen.
Father, we thank you for being with us today, for speaking into our lives and encouraging us with your word. Thank you that it is your kingdom that we are invited to play a small part in. And Father, now we come before you and bring our requests as we pray for our church leaders. We ask for peace, wisdom, joy as they navigate the changes in our team here in the Chase and the disruptions caused by the pandemic. We pray for the leaders of our country. May they lead with integrity, honesty, and wisdom, setting good examples for the country to follow. We pray for those suffering from COVID and the wider effects of COVID, restrictions on travel and meeting up with family and friends, whilst also coping with the impact on our mental health. And we lift to you those of us who are currently meeting on the Kintsugi Hope Course. May we be honest and open with each other, supporting one another and learning how to manage our mental health and being encouraged by the role you play in our well-being. We lift to you the people of Tonga recovering from the volcanic eruption and the subsequent tsunami, which caused such devastation in Tonga and other environmental catastrophes around the world. Help the aid agencies get food and supplies and medical services to those in need. And now let's consider those parables of the kingdom. We especially lift to you those who have been blessed over the past year to receive new seeds of faith. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be part of that distribution, that sowing. But we lift to you those who have heard but have not yet responded. We lift to you those who responded but the seed is currently dormant, starved or stolen. We lift to you those who have responded but are being choked by the world around them. And we rejoice with those who have responded and are now journeying together with us and growing strong. Let's just pause for a moment for you to add your personal prayers for somebody that you may know in each of those categories. And Father, we finally pray for ourselves as we grow and allow your seed to take root in our lives and to flourish. May we just bring to you now anything that is perhaps affecting the fertility of our soil or the surroundings that we put, where we put things in place of you. May we just recognize those now and offer them to Jesus and ask for his nourishment and nurturing to once again bring growth into our lives. And now let's close by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Colin has just prayed for our church leaders, and it's good to remember that as well as the fellowship that we enjoy, the taste of heaven that we enjoy together here as a worshipping community, we belong to the wider worshipping community in Malvern of the various churches. And we're in the middle of the week of prayer for Christian unity. And this afternoon at 4 o'clock, there is a united service in MEC. And I do encourage you, if you can, to come along and join with our brothers and sisters from other churches in shared worship at MEC this afternoon. And if you wish to take part in the Zoom prayers each evening at 7 o'clock, the link is in the bulletin.
Well, we are coming to the end of our service now. I'm conscious that we've been talking about walking with Jesus and listening to him. But, you know, we all know, don't we, that sometimes that is tough. We all go through tough times. Maybe you feel that you want to have eyes that see but feel like you're peering into a fog. Maybe you want to have ears that hear but feel as though you've got earwax in them. Or it's just tough. Maybe you feel that you did have good soil once, but it's a bit dry and starved at the moment. And if that's you, and you would like prayer, I would really encourage you to just stay and ask somebody next to you or a friend or myself or one of the other leaders to just pray with you for that situation. And just hang on to that fact, you only need that mustard seed of faith, and God can grow it. But just, I think, in recognition that, you know, we are going through this walk together and sometimes we need help, I'm going to finish with a reading a traditional blessing, but then we're going to see a video, which is a song that I think really talks about how Jesus walks with us and doesn't leave us to just try and do it on our own. And I hope you find that song a real blessing as we end today, that you can take out into the week with you. So just a prayer of blessing then. God, go before us to lead us. God, go behind us to protect us. God, go beneath us to support us. God, go beside us to befriend us. Do not be afraid. So let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.